Good morning. Good to see you. I want to read a text message that I got this week. You ready? Make sure my thumb is in the right place. It says this: Brent has an appointment on Tuesday, January 29th at 11:30 a.m. We're looking forward to seeing you. Thank you, Mr. Dentist Man. Let me tell you a little bit about me. I'm not excited to see you. That's what I thought when I read that text. Let me tell you something. I personally don't mind the dentist. They don't bother me. I know that some of you get really creeped out about the dentist. You don't like going to it. Let me tell you why I'm not excited to go to the dentist. One word: flossing. Flossing. Let me tell you how this goes. You go to the dentist, they're like, Mr. Minter, you should floss more. And I'm like, I know these things, but I haven't been, so give me a break. And so then I get all excited, and I'm like, I know I should be flossing more. And I care about dental hygiene, I really do. I brush, but so I go after the dentist, and I get all excited about flossing. Man, I'm on it, right? I'm just like getting in there, doing my thing. And then I'm like, I'm gonna be committed to this. I'm actually gonna go buy some new floss to show my commitment to my flossing, right? And after about a month or 3 weeks or 2 days, I'm not sure which one, my excitement for flossing just goes down to eventually it's like this sad little package in my drawer that I never pick up, right? And so then what happens is I know the drill. They will text me and I'll go, oh man, I know I should be flossing. So over the next few days, I'm gonna be flossing like a fool. And then I'm gonna pop in and I beat them to the punch. I go into an offensive game and I walk in, and before they say anything, it's like, listen, I know I should be flossing more. I'm not, I'm sorry, right? So that's the reason I'm not excited to see the dentist. But here's the thing, there's tons of stuff in life that it's super simple for us to know we should do it, but not do it. Lots of things that in life we know we should, but we don't. And you're no different than me, by the way. I actually Googled things we should do, but we don't. And here's a poll, and this is how America responded. You ready? Number one thing, they should start exercising. Number two, eat better. Number three, save money. And number four, of all the things on planet Earth that we could say we should do, but we don't, dental checkups. So I'm not alone. Right? At least I go to the dentist. I just don't floss like I should. So here's the thing though. You feel this in your soul. We know we should, but we don't. Right? We do this with things in our lives, whether it's making your bed. You know you should, but you don't. Dusting, you know you should. For me, you know that the oil change sticker in the big top part of your window? It's really hard for me to not push it on that number. I'm like, I can get a few more miles out of this, right? So there's tons of things you know you should do, but you don't. But just listen, who cares about your bed and dusting and floss necessarily? But there are issues and there are character issues in our lives that we know we should, but we don't. We're not talking about floss anymore. We're talking about character, things we do in our lives, our quality of our character that we know we should, but we don't. What's interesting this morning is the Apostle Paul is gonna kind of jump in and give us some instructions. I wanna remind you where we're at in the book of Ephesians. First of all, first three chapters is this beautiful theology that we are chosen in him, that if we come to him in faith, he saves us and makes us new. That we were once bound in sin, but by faith we can believe in Christ and all things are new. This beautiful theology in Ephesians, and he's gonna flip the switch and he's like, and now we're gonna point it at you and be like, because that's happened in your life, it should reshape, hence the name of the sermon series, it should reshape who you are and what you're about. And so we're gonna dial in, and let me just remind you where we've been. So here, last week, Austin taught. And at the very end of his passage, there was a couple verses there that's really important for us before we jump into our text. So we're just gonna review here for a second before we jump in. This is it, verse 22 in chapter 4. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, is corrupt and through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Here's the thing, there's a pattern. If we've been changed in Christ, we're to put off certain things and we're to put on certain things. And what the Apostle Paul's gonna do today is he's gonna start listing things in case you didn't get the principle. He's gonna give us specifics. okay? And here's the other thing that he's gonna do, is he's gonna give it in a pattern. So everything that he brings up, he's gonna tell us to, number one, put off something. He's gonna tell us what we should put on, and then he's gonna give us a reason why we should do it. The reason why is super important. And so here's, let me tell you what I've been praying for you this week before we jump in, because we're about to get in and get with it. Here's how I've specifically been praying for you this week. Number one, everything that Paul's about to say, you've heard your whole life. There's nothing in this list that your kindergarten teacher didn't teach you as well. Your parents have told you this from when you're a little kid. It's not earth-shattering. And here's what I'm scared this morning, is you're just gonna go, yeah, I know that, and you're gonna check out. You're like, that's elementary things. That's the simple things in life. Wow, it all happened at the same time. And so if it's elementary in your life, you're just gonna check out for it. And the second reason I've been praying for you is this. Some of you know the things that are said in the scripture here, and you feel guilt in your life because you've known it forever and it's never changed. And you're walking in, and we're gonna talk about some things, and you're gonna be like, Brent, I know, and I can't do anything about it. You're just defeated by guilt and sin. You're like, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I am, and I'm just guilty, and I just quit. I love God, but I'm just always gonna be defeated in this area. That's not true. And the third reason, there's third thing I've been praying for you this week is this. When we talk about some of these issues, they're so elementary, it seems. But for some reason, Christians find it easier to identify bad things about other people and not examine our own souls. You ever been there? So simple stuff this morning. But I've been praying that God would open up our eyes, that it wouldn't just be kindergarten, we wouldn't live under guilt and shame, and that we wouldn't want to point it out in others, but through his word, he teaches this morning. So this is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. We're going to read 4, 25 through 32, and we're going to walk through it. And in the words of Pastor Awesome, we're going to chop it up. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go through each one of these. We're gonna talk about what we should put off, what we should put on, the reason why, and give a big challenge at the back end. You ready? You ready? Let's go. So first one is this: speak the truth, don't lie. Speak the truth, don't lie. I told you this is kindergarten stuff, right? You've heard this your whole life. Speak the truth, don't lie. Verse 25 says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Here's what he says: put off falsehood or lying. You know what that is. It's representing something that's simply not true. And the question for us this morning is, why do we lie? I don't need to explain what a lie is for you. The question is, why do we do it? Here's my assumption this morning, is the reason we lie is you lie when you are afraid. You lie when you're afraid. When you're afraid about what somebody will think of you. When you're afraid about what will happen to you if someone finds out the truth. When you happen to be scared about the ramifications of what is true. We lie when we're scared, right? That's like, I'm not gonna tell you the truth because I might get fired. I'm not gonna tell you the truth because you might not like me anymore. We're scared. We lie when we're scared. Types of lies. All kinds. There's white lies. where what we mean is it's a complete 100% lie, but I don't think the consequences are that big deal, so I'll just call it a white lie. There's exaggeration where you know it's not true, but it gets a bigger laugh or it gets you more respect, so you embellish the details to make you look better because you're afraid what other people think about you. There's bold-faced lies. There's broken promises. I promise I'll be there, and then not. There's all kinds of lies. And what the Apostle Paul is like, listen, if you've been made new in Christ, put that off. That's not who you are. You believe in the way, the truth, and the life. That's what you should be putting on, which is exactly what he says. You should put on the truth. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. The truth is, again, I don't have to explain this. It's what is right. It's what's true. Here's the reason we don't do it. It might not be as expedient for you. It might not be as winsome. It might not be as flattering. But what Jesus is saying, listen, if you are in Christ, put on truth. Speak truly. Because it represents me well. And the reason he gives us is this, the reason he gives us is that we are members of one another. What's interesting, you don't even have to believe in Jesus to know that this is true. Our society says that this is the way it goes too. In our society, if you lie in certain contexts, you can go to jail because it breaks down the members of society. In the church, if you lie and you spread falsehoods, it breaks down trust. Relationships are built on trust, and when we lie, that trust is absolutely destroyed. And if we tell the truth, however, it builds us up. You know this, right? This isn't new stuff. You've probably known this since kindergarten. But here's what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. Listen, a normal body doesn't attack itself. And when you tell falsehoods, you're attacking yourself. Do you know what they call it when a body begins to attack itself? Cancer. It destroys. And when we lie instead of telling the truth, it just breaks down the body. And you felt this. Maybe a coworker lied to you. Did you want to work on a project with them again? Maybe your child, right? You're rearing your child and they lie to you. Does that build more trust and you give them more responsibility? Or do you say, I need to take some of that stuff back because I'm not sure I can trust you? In every area, what he's saying, listen, if you're new in Christ, take off falsehoods. It's not becoming of a person who follows Jesus. Put on truth. And the reason is that it will bring harmony to the body. Next, be angry and do not sin. This is verse 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. What's interesting about this one in particular, he starts what we should put on before he tells us what we should put off. Same pattern exists, it's just he throws it in a different way. And this is an interesting one because we don't know how to handle this, but here's his first thing is put on anger, but put on anger without sin. It's okay to be angry about things that are unjust and are not right, but there's something that happens when we cross the line. We're like, that's not right. Something needs to be done about that. I'm gonna lean in and solve this problem because it creates anger. But there's this line that we cross that we just push it into anger, that's sinful. And all of a sudden, we're trying to control it. Our emotions are driving the thing. And so let me give you two examples this week of what I would say is really good righteous indignation. Righteous anger. The first one is this, Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Martin Luther King found himself in a Jim Crow South, which is absolute sin. And he looked at that and he said, it's not right. I'm gonna lean into this. And if you know anything about the way he led that movement, it was not out of anger and screaming and yelling. He was just a constant force saying, this is not right, we're gonna work on it, right? So you see this man who was full of anger, who was attacked, who was eventually assassinated. This is not right that a person, because of their skin, is treated in a totally different way. He's like, that ain't right. So I'm gonna lean into that. And for us, honestly, we should look as Christians and say, racism in any sense, there should be a righteous anger against it because it's wrong. It's against the teaching of Scripture. That should be a righteous indignation. We saw Martin Luther King Jr. represent that so well. Another thing, this is Tuesday. Another image, just this week, that you should have righteous indignation about. This is the governor of New York signing in the most liberal, aggressive policy allowing abortions. It's called the Reproductive Health Act of New York. And it absolutely is legalized abortion until that baby it comes out of the womb. What I get really righteous indignation in my soul when I see the smiles over the killing of children. And listen, in this room, I know that there are people who've had abortion. I need you to know there's grace, and I'm not mad at you. But we should lean into that and say a child who cannot defend himself should be defended by those with righteous indignation. Anger. We should move. We should not just, you know, make posts about it. We should help in the fostering system. We should work on adoption. We should speak into that. We should fund organizations that help pregnant mothers who find themselves pregnant. There should be righteous anger in us. But you and I also know when that anger turns into like sin. And it's not just what we should put on, righteous anger, but the thing that we should take off, which is anger that is sinful and me-centered and frustration and I'm about to blow type of anger. I think of two different types of anger that I can think of, and they both relate to fire. The first one is the explosion. Some of you have a temper, and your anger explodes like that. And you take it and boom, you explode. It's just a fire that goes everywhere and it burns people. Paul's like, no. I know it's tough. You need to put that off. And some of you are like, yeah, well, my husband or my wife blows up, but I don't. But here's the anger that you have in your soul. It's slow burning like coals. It's not out. But boy, it's there and it's hot. And you don't let anybody know. And you sit back and you smile. But inside, you are burning with anger. No one might know on the outside because you're too mature to let it blow. But you're stewing on the inside. And Paul says, take it off. It's not good for you. Take it off. Why? It gives opportunity. Oh, let me back up. He then says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let it go down. So when it happens to be there, whether it's explosion or hot coals in your soul, if it happens, there's going to kind of probably emotions going to come up inside of you. Don't go to bed. Don't let it sit in your soul, because if you let it go, you're going to become embittered. You're going to become in like really resentful because you let that anger hold on inside of you. And some of you are like, well, Brent, if they would just apologize, I wouldn't. And I get it. It would be really easy if everyone who's ever wronged us or any situation that's ever hard came and apologized, but that's not the experience I've had in life. What we can do in our own soul is look in and say, listen, what they do is inconsequential, but as for me, I'm gonna begin to forgive and I'm gonna begin to let it go before I go to bed. They might not say sorry, but I can let it go. The reason why is because if we don't, it gives opportunity for the devil. Can we all just agree when you're angry, you do dumb stuff? Yeah, you do stupid stuff. You say dumb things. You move in angry ways. You just do dumb stuff. And when you let anger fester inside, here's what the Apostle Paul says. Like, you left the door open for the devil to walk in and say, boom, do something stupid now. There's a passage that I had to memorize because there was a season in my life I was really bitter. Some situations that had happened. And this is Psalm 78:23, because I think this is what happens when you leave the door open for Satan. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. And when you let anger that's full of sin sit inside of there and be resentful and bitter, you act like a brutish beast. And you literally left the door open for Satan to come and do it through you. He's like, don't do that. Hey, listen, listen. If you put your faith in Christ, he's made you new. Take off that anger. I get that things happen in life that's frustrating, but stop it at when the sun goes down. And when there are things that are not right, you should have a righteous indignation. But if you let that the sun go down on your anger, you're going to be embittered and frustrated, and you're going to do something really dumb. Next, do not steal. Do honest work. This is verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. He's just saying, put off stealing. You should not steal. You should not take what is not yours. And when I think about stealing, I think of being the victim. I remember there's two times in my life I walked to my car and a window was shattered and things were taken out of my car. Actually, on my wedding day, I walked out of my apartment and my car was smashed in and they took a lot of stuff out of my car. Like, when I think about stealing, I always think about being the victim. The other way I think about being a victim is my kids and how they steal my protein bars. Right? So I'm smart. I put them on the top shelf where they can't get them. But they come home from school when I'm not there, like I'm hungry and all that kind of stuff, and they steal my protein bars, and I'm the victim. They're stealing them from me. But man, have I ever thought, where am I the perpetrator? Where am I taking things that are not mine? Am I using some allowances from my employer to be about me? Am I honest with my taxes? It's tax season, you know, so glorify God in your taxes. Where are you stealing stuff? It could be small, it could be massive. He's like, listen, put that off. It's not yours. But you know what you should put on? Labor and honest work. But rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. Right? Do honest work. Get your hands dirty. Be honest. Paul has this thing about working with his hands. You know that he wouldn't let other people support him in ministry. He made a lot of tents to support himself. He also says this in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. He says this, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. It's like, shh, and do your job. Just do your job. And here's why. The reason why, this is shocking. It's like you'd think, do your job so you can have everything and you can have the perfect vacation and all the things that you want and the things you think you deserve. That's not what he says. He who has ears, let him hear, so that you may have something to share. So that you may have something to share. It's not about what, so you can have everything you want. It's so that you can share. And preachers always get in trouble because they talk about money. So let's go. Let me tell you something. I don't know you, and I don't know what you do. But when you talk about money, here's the reality. It's hard because some of you are unbelievably generous. And you think I'm talking down to you, and you think you should do more. Now, here's what I want to say. If you are being generous with the things of God, I'm so proud of you. Great job. Good work. It's hard. I get it, but man, Apostle Paul here's like, say, listen, you should work hard so you can share with others. Your hands should be open. But then there's some of you that you're as stingy as Scrooge. You don't want to share. You don't want to care. You're like, I'm gonna work hard so I can get mine, so I can increase this, so I can increase that. And the Apostle Paul would be like, listen, everything you have is God's. So work. And what's interesting about that is it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. There are some really generous rich people and stingy rich people. There's some really generous, like blow your mind, broke people. And then there's some very stingy broke people. It doesn't matter. It's a heart issue. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is, listen, work hard, don't steal, and be willing to share with other people. Next, pick it up in verse 29. This is it. Do not use words to tear down, but to build up. Do not use words to tear down, but to build up. Verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Here's what he's saying. What does he tell us to put off? Corrupting talk. The way that when I memorized this as a young man, unwholesome talk is the way I memorized it. Get rid of unwholesome, corrupting talk. And so we could absolutely, what is that? This is like a really big blanket word that we could put a lot of things underneath there. We could talk about bad language. And we're gonna talk about that in 5:4 because he addresses that more head on in 5:4. So let's just dive into here. Malicious gossip, slander, aggressive words that cut people down, that tears people down. Don't do it. And here's what I believe. If the Apostle Paul was alive in the 21st century, he would have to write this in a different way. This is the way he would write it. Let no corrupting talk be typed by your thumbs. Because some of you need to repent for being a gossip. Nowhere in Scripture can you even come close to standing on sure ground if that's a practice in your life. But can I tell you what we do as 21st century Christians? We type the meanest things. I have any couple that I counsel with, and it's a rule in my house as well. You cannot argue or fight over text. Do you want to know why? You will type something to someone, meanness that you would never look at them in the eyeballs and say. But you feel like you can get away with it, and you just blast them. Stop it. That is tearing down. The Apostle Paul would say, listen, that's not the new way that you've been put in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ. Put that off of you. I know that it's gonna rise up inside of you. It's gonna happen, but don't do it. Don't hit send. Don't gossip. And not only just in text messaging, but in social media, he would be like, yo, you gotta get yourself in control on Facebook, right? Don't say things that tear down. And I get it, man. There's a lot of wisdom because there's some unrighteous things that we should be angry about socially, and so we want to go fight it. And what he's just saying is, listen, build up. Be angry, but don't sin. And man, is that hard. But he's like, it's worth the fight. What does he tell us to put on? Words that will build up. Words that will build up. Have you ever been built up by words? Someone looked at you and said, I believe in you. I'm with you. Great job. You ever been on the receiving end of that? He's like, listen, for those who are Christians, we should build one another up. Your words, and not just to Christians, by the way, just in general, you should build others up. You should be encouraging them. And he gives us the reason why. Because it gives grace to those who listen. You know, it's interesting. Now, often, most of the time, this has become a part of my prayer when I'm meeting with people over dinners and lunches. God, would you let our conversation give grace to us and build us up and not tear us down? Because it's so easy for our conversation to tear down instead of build up, right? There's a lot of wrong in the world. It's easy to focus on. How about we build each other up in the faith? And here's the other reason. Because it does not grieve the Holy Spirit. This "and" there in verse 30 is tying it back to the stronger verb of let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. And so we could apply this thing and do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption to a lot of sin in our lives. But here it's specifically tied to our language. And you see this beautiful picture that for those of us who have believed in Christ, we are sealed and we've received the Holy Spirit. And he dwells inside of us. And he's like, hey, and you keep spewing all this unwholesome, corrupting stuff out of your mouth. Meanwhile, the Spirit of God is inside of you, the fruit of which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. That's grievous to the indwelling part of the Trinity in your soul when you let that junk come out your mouth. It's grievous. Man, I can remember in my life the power of words. There were some things said about me when I was a kid that left its mark, that I remembered even into adulthood. Things that were not nice said about me. And some of it was true. Left a mark. Had to fight against it for a number of years. But I can also remember older men who looked at me and said, I believe in you. You're going to do a great job. Good job, Brent. I'll never forget my father-in-law. It doesn't just have to be nice and flattery words that build up. When I began to preach a lot, my father-in-law loves me dearly. And he brought me aside multiple times. And he goes, Brent, you're doing such a great job, but I want to encourage you. You need to work on this. You'll be better if you work on this. He was right. That was probably brave of him to bring it up.
You're totally right. It was hard for me to hear, but it built me up.
There's power in words. Then, in case he missed anything, check this out. He gives a laundry list. He's like, so just in case I didn't pick your pet thing, let me just cover it right quick. This is verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Here's what he's saying. Listen, again, this pattern, put off all these things that are kind of relational in nature, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, and malice. Get rid of it. Go. Don't let that be a part of you. You have been made new in Christ, and that was a part of your old nature, so take it off. Be active. Be proactive and get rid of that, but put on kindness, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And here's the reason why. You know why all this should happen? Because God in Christ forgave you. Because God in Christ forgave you. There's a reason. You've been made new because of Christ. So take that stuff off. Put on the good stuff of Christ. Show his character. And so here it is. Let me dial this in for you. What are you supposed to do with this? There's four things I want you to do. And this isn't easy. It's just a way for you to remember it. The first one is identify. Identify. Paul is identifying several things, but there may be some things in your life that he didn't talk about today, but you go, you know what? I know that this is not right. I know that this is not true. The Spirit of God is showing me. He said he'll guide us into all truth, and he'll reveal sin to us as the job of the Spirit. And he's showing me, man, this is wrong in my life. So number two is put it off. Put it off. And some of you are like, but Brent, I've been trying for 10 years. I can't kick this thing. Get some help. Talk to somebody. Say, help me. Number three, put on. You're going to have to put on something else by faith. If you take something off, if you got to put something else on by faith. God, I know I've been gossiping about a lot of people. I know I've been letting my anger. And so, God, you've got to help me put on kindness because I don't like folk. Put it on. Believe it by faith that he can help you. Number four, this is super important. I feel like people miss this. Know why. Know why. Search the scriptures. God, why would I change the way I view sexuality? Know why from here. Don't take my word for it. If you're going to change your anger, if you're going to change some behaviors that are ingrained in your soul, you're going to have to know why to keep going in the storm. Let me give you some common mistakes. And we're almost done, so hang in there. Common mistakes. You ready for this? If you put off, but you don't put on,
The mistake there is religion. Do you see it? You're like, I'm gonna stop doing bad things. I'm not gonna do the bad things. But you never put on the newness of Christ in your soul. It's gonna be religious, and you're just gonna have boxes to check, and there's gonna be your soul. I'm just telling you, you're gonna burn out one day because no one can keep doing religious things without being refilled by the Spirit of God. It's religion. Another common mistake is you put on, you're like, oh, I'm gonna do all these godly things. I'm gonna do this and do this, but you don't put off. You know what that's called? Hypocrisy. You're like, I'm gonna figure out all this. I'm gonna do all the cool stuff. I'm gonna look godly, but you never put it off in the darkness. And it's called hypocrisy. But listen, 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 come on, come on. If you will humble yourself and say, God, you have made me new in Christ Jesus. Would you help me identify? Spirit of God, show me things in my life. Oh, it's my anger. Oh, it's the way that I steal. Oh, it's this, it's that, it's that. God, help me to take it off. Take it off from me. And in the midst of that, by faith, I'm gonna start acting like this because I know I need to put on your character. And you search out why. I'm just telling you guys, it's gonna change you. And last thing, we'll be done. Some of you are thinking, I get it, Brent. I just gotta discipline myself. I just gotta work hard. I'd be like, tomorrow I'm gonna write a to-do list to make sure I do it. I'm gonna tell you right now, your discipline will fail. What I'm talking about is being caught in the rhythm of grace, which is given to us through the gospel. The indwelling Spirit of God shows us these things. He helps us to take off. He helps us to put on. And we know, we search the scripture. And by the way, he guides us into all truth. And we try to start seeking this out. And it's a rhythm. And it doesn't happen fast. Somebody say amen. It's not fast. Sometimes it can be slow. You can't discipline your way through it. You can only gospel your way through it. And so here's my last thing. Some of you this morning, you're always gonna fail because you've not been made new in Christ. You know you've been failing. One of the songs we sang, I worked my fingers down to the bone, but nothing I did could ever atone. You're disciplined out. And maybe this morning you would look and say, listen, you would just see the gospel that you were once bound in your transgressions and sins and that Christ came to give us new life so that we could begin to display his life by taking off and putting on. And maybe this morning, for the first time ever, you would realize you can't fix yourself. You've been trying since kindergarten, guys, to quit lying and stealing and talking bad about people. It's the gospel and the Spirit of God that can transform you. Let's pray. God, may you arise an army in here that is willing to humble ourselves and admit we can't fix it, but that we realize that we're made in your image, that you would help us in our newness, God, to take off those things that don't represent you, to put on, and we need your help, God. And for those in this room who are exhausted for trying to clean up their mess, God, this morning, would you, by the Spirit of God, in this moment, show them that they will never fix it, but they need to believe and trust in you for the first time so that you can make them new, so that you would give them the indwelling Holy Spirit to guide them through these really difficult waters. If that's just you this morning, it's pretty simple. There's no ceremony or there's no perfect box you need to check. But you just need to humble yourself and say, Jesus, I can't fix myself. I've been bound in my trespasses and all of my sin. But I believe that you came, you died, and if I believe in you, you forgive me of all my sins and you make me new. It's about belief. So maybe this morning for the first time you'd step over that line of faith. God, whatever it is, you work in our hearts as we sing this morning. Amen.